Welcome to the Revenue Rebels podcast, brought to you by Warmly. On this show, we cut straight through the fluff and dive deep into the specific tactics that B2B revenue leaders across sales and marketing are using to find success in today's environment. I'm your host, Alan Zhao.
There's a story that you were telling me about how you grew pipeline 150%. How did you go after ZipWhip's customers? Was it email?
So we would be potentially three of the 10 results on a Google search page for anything related to ZipWhip.
All right, guys. Today we have on here Kenneth Burke, who is the VP of marketing at TextRequest, which is a business texting platform that lets you text from office phone numbers directly from your computer. He started as an outbound sales rep and grew with the company all the way to VP of marketing. Kenneth has written over thousands of articles on business growth for dozens of outlets, including Entrepreneur. We're going to talk about partnerships today and how Kenneth drove 150% increase in attributable pipeline through a unique partnership channel with Twilio. Kenneth, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
We talked a bit about how you wanted to be a rock star starting off and how you took a circuitous path towards marketing leadership. We'd love to hear the story behind that.
Yeah, you can see some of the instruments behind me. Got really big into music in high school, thought that's what I was going to go to college to study and then become a rock star. Once I got into a collegiate program for it or undergrad, realized I didn't want to spend as many hours in the studio practicing as I thought I did. So pivoted for a short time into business. I thought I would go into the music business, pivoted again because I found psychology and thought that was really interesting. But then I didn't want to go to school for another 5 years to earn a PhD and do anything with that. So I went into sales because you can make quick money. And I had a young ego that helped me there as well. So did that, burned out on it fairly quickly. It was actually how I got into TextRequest. A friend of mine was helping to start the company and they were looking for salespeople. And I said, that sounds interesting. Can I join? He said, sure. So here we are, but didn't last very long in sales there and nobody was doing marketing. And for whatever reason at the time, I wanted to also be a writer. And so I said, hey, this is writing and marketing. Let me try some of that. Let me try emails and social media and blog posts. And they let me. So shout out to Brian and the team, our founders, for giving me that opportunity and made a lot of mistakes along the way, but we had more successes than failures. And here we are.
It seems like the perfect combination of skill sets, marketing for your creative outlet, and then also your psychology training.
Unintentionally, yes.
Yeah. No, it's powerful. I think marketing is a big portion of it today. It seems to be pushing towards the technology distribution, but at the center of it, I know you talk about this too, it's understanding your customers, gathering their perspective, not based off your own perceptions or biases, but understanding truly how they're looking at the world and reframing that.
Absolutely.
So let's dive into you guys' channel. Partnership seems to be the largest channel. And can you tell me a little bit more about how that's set up? What percentage of partnerships makes up your total revenue and total pipeline?
Yeah, so today it's about 15% or so. We've got it really broken down into three parts. So we've got one, which are part one is technology partners. So those are another software company that has either built an integration with us or built an integration with them to offer a complimentary service for their customers. We'll get into their partner marketplace or ecosystem, however you want to say it, and people will find us or their sales reps will refer clients over to us. And that's wonderful. And number two is we have some affiliates or referrals. And these are typically business consultants or somebody you actually would go to for advice on something. And the consultant doesn't want to manage things for their client, but they'll say, hey, you should go work with TextRequest for your text messaging needs. And we'll take that all day. And then number three is marketing agencies and IT firms. So managed service providers. So maybe it's an agency is managing marketing and sales conversations. Maybe it's the IT is managing customer service or scheduling, something like that. So those are our three buckets for partnerships.
And for each of these three buckets, how much time do you yourself allocate and what does that look like on daily?
I don't do too much anymore with it day to day, which is really nice. A lot of it on my end is more educational and content. And so we actually did maybe a unique thing is we built our partnerships program underneath marketing and then it got robust enough. We actually spun it off, branched it off into its own. And so now it's actually, merged with our enterprise sales team, which is probably atypical, but it has worked well for us. So yeah, for me, it's largely content. If we do any co-marketing, obviously that falls under us. And then sometimes there's there are complementary things we will do as well. So if a, let's say there's a partner event going on, we'll do some marketing around that or some retargeting. I mentioned education, emails, blog posts, webinars, things like that. So day to day, it's not too much, but we are fairly active in it still.
It's a powerful channel. It's hard to build a sales team to sell your product, but if you can get other people to help sell on your behalf, that's the cheat code to growing rapidly and efficiently. So partnerships is difficult to set up, but sometimes amazing things just fall right into your lap. So there's a story that you were telling me about how you grew pipeline 150% in 1 year, directly attributable to this unique situation where Twilio acquired one of your competitors and you were able to migrate a large portion of their customers onto your platform. We can start from the beginning and I'll let you take it away from here.
So from the beginning, we're a text messaging software. Twilio is actually an upstream provider of ours that we have built some things out on top of their SMS APIs. So we've had a relationship with them since the beginning. And we had a partner relationship with them as well back in the day, we'll say pre-COVID, where they had a lead come in and the lead wasn't a good fit to want to build something using Twilio services. We were somebody that they would refer to say, hey, you can just buy it instead. This is already built out. Use text request. So we had some relationships there, but there's also so much turnover at a massive company like Twilio. And there's always reorganizations or reorgs. People are shifting roles all the time. So that over time became something that was tough to keep up with, I'll say. Fast forward a few years and Twilio decides to buy our largest competitor or most direct competitor, which was named ZipWhip. And we were a fairly close feature match. It's funny because they started in Seattle, Washington. We started in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So opposite sides of the states, but doing pretty much the same thing. And we weren't entirely sure what was going to happen whenever Twilio did buy them. But then we heard the announcement or found out that they were going to sunset ZipWhip. They were going to shut down the front end software. And basically ZipWhip had some back end infrastructure and some other things that was really valuable for Twilio's audience. We think that was the decision to buy them and then why to shut down the software. So that happened. And we started reaching out to all of our contacts at Twilio saying, hey, how can we get involved with this? We know all those thousands of customers that ZipWhip has been serving are going to need to go somewhere. Wouldn't it be great if we could keep them using a product that is at least on the Twilio platform so that traffic is still going through Twilio? And they were of like minds, the people we ended up working with, but they weren't going to offer an exclusive referral partnership in something like this. They need to be fairly neutral. And instead of saying, hey, go to text request, say, hey, go to one of these three or one of these five providers, these partners of ours. We did our work to become one of the partners. We thought it made sense anyway, because we were the closest feature match already. But from there, it was relationship building. It was doing webinars with the Twilio and ZipWhip teams to show exactly what we can do for people. It was doing webinars for their customers. It was providing good copy for the landing page on Twilio's website to say, check out these partners, check out text requests specifically. We also had our own team reaching out to everyone we could find who was a ZipWhip customer when we used a handful of tools built with or something to see if there was a pixel on somebody's website so we could hit them up and say, hey, that's going away. Come use us instead. And I'll say it was amazing how many of their customers, this is a good lesson here. It was amazing how many of their customers didn't realize that ZipWhip was shutting down. They just missed the communications or they weren't looking for it, which the marketing lesson there is nobody sees what your message is every time you say it. So just keep repeating it if it's something important. But anyway, so there's some of the marketing side. And what really helped us, I think, win the lion's share was that our product team built a migration tool. So that with one click, you could actually move all of your data from ZipWhip to text request. And that was incredible. We wanted it to be an effortless switch. Even in the best of times, switching software services is a headache and a pain of the rear, and you don't want to do it. And especially if somebody is forcing you off when you didn't want to do it on your own, we knew things could get touchy. So we wanted to make it really easy. Our customer service teams, our sales team, all of our people are really great to work with anyway. They're really helpful and kind and quick and responsive. So that definitely helped every other touch point. But yeah, I'll quit rambling for a moment and you tell me where you want to go with it from here.
It's an amazing story. How did you guys decide to build the integration? It's already hard enough to get features on the roadmap. Sometimes roadmaps are 6 months out. So it's, and with things like integrations, you're never really sure if they're going to go well, because something like this hasn't really been done before. So what was that like, the convincing and change management that had to take place?
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly and powerfully you can do something once everyone agrees on it. And in our case, we all saw, we knew how large ZipWhip was. We knew how good it would be to work with Twilio. We knew how much revenue we should be able to earn from these customers because it was so similar to everybody else we worked with. Excuse me. And so we said, hey, this is a huge opportunity. This is our golden goose moment, if you will. We need to make sure we take advantage of it. What is it going to take for us to take advantage of it? Okay, well, we're going to need to make sure we can onboard. We're going to need to outmarket the other people who are the other partners on the list. We're going to need to be more helpful so that people have a good experience and actually stay with us and don't decide to leave us for another vendor. We need to be as clear and helpful as we can in our product up front. One thing was webinars, I mentioned. Another thing was we would record canned demos and just put it on the website. That's taboo for a lot of enterprise sales companies in particular, or software companies, because they don't want to show everything before they can talk to you. But we were like, no, we know you're looking. Here's what you're looking for. Can we give you those answers so you can just buy even without having to talk to us? Yeah, so that was a little bit of the thought process there.
Can we dive in a little bit more on the planning and strategy and the order of operations of, did you guys build it first and then market? Did you market ahead? How did you go after ZipWhip's customers? Was it email?
Yes, is the short answer. It was all of it in tandem. And so we were having conversations with people at Twilio at first to say, hey, is this something we can do? Will you let us do it? And then ZipWhip did have an open API, and if we had tried to do this before the partnership, they would have just blocked our account because don't want you taking our customers. But since we had the partnership, they let us use it however we wanted, as long as we were within whatever ethical and legal got parameters, when we very easily were. So yeah, so we built that. I don't remember how long it took to actually to ship and get out there for people to use, but it was fairly quick. Our team did some good work pretty quickly there. And alongside it was copy for landing pages, was figuring out attribution tracking. So if people do come to us from Twilio, can we point back to that partnership and say it was effective and working? Making it easy for people to schedule demos, emails. A lot of marketing went through Twilio as well. So it was creating within their guidelines. What was their rubric for email marketing, for webinar marketing? How can we fit within that? But then a lot of it, we tried to skip a few steps. So typically in a software sales process, there's a discovery call, then there's a demo, maybe, and then there's talking pricing before signing a contract. And first of all, we don't have contracts. So if you really want one set up, we can do it for you, but we're just a month-to-month service. Come sign up, make it really easy. But we were able to basically condense discovery, demo, pricing into a 15 to 20 minute conversation. And knowing these people are already very familiar with a text messaging platform, and we're very similar, so we just need to highlight what is similar, where's the overlap, what are a couple things that are different so we don't catch you off guard. And then here's how much it's going to cost, here's how you set it up. Come on, let's go.
Did you target these guys?
Yeah, we did. Early on, ZipWhip and Twilio were pretty protective, as you would imagine, somebody being protective of their customers. So it's not like they were sharing info or anything like that. And it took us a while to find the prospects through whatever marketing channels we were doing, webinar registrations built with pixel tracking. Maybe the most helpful thing was Google Ads and making sure. So two things, actually. So we had two pages about ZipWhip on our website. So we had a blog post and we had an integration or product landing page. And both of those ended up ranking at the top of search results for ZipWhip replacement or ZipWhip shutdown, which is fantastic. Added to that, we, in our Google Ads for those keywords and similar, top of page. So we made sure we paid enough to be the number one bid as well. So we would be potentially 3 of the 10 results on a Google search page for anything related to ZipWhip. And so we got all the traffic. Our website was good enough that people could get what they wanted, make the next step, talk to us, etc. And that worked really well.
What keywords did you guys use and how did you come up with them?
Two parts. And I don't know that we really came up with anything. So there was the typical like business texting service keywords anyway. And we did some digging in trends. There was nothing really conclusive, but it was a hunch, is that if you have to all of a sudden start looking for a new service, you're just going to use the typical keywords. You're not necessarily going to look for zip replacement or Twilio is shutting down. What do I do? Or not Twilio, but, and so we over-indexed on those general, what we call general, but high intent purchase keywords like business texting service or best SMS service in the US, things like that. And we also had for ZipWhip alternative or ZipWhip replacement, ZipWhip shutdown. We didn't see much traffic there, at least not for paid. A lot of that went organic, but for the paid, it made it like most of the traffic coming in was people who were using ZipWhip looking for a replacement. So that was interesting.
Got it. That makes sense. And for organic, did you make one blog post article or were there?
Yeah, one blog that was ZipWhip shutdown. And then here's a bunch of categories or sections that were variations of keywords. So how to transfer my ZipWhip data, how much does it cost? When is the deadline? Things like that. And then we had a landing page for the integration.
Did you put the integration page at the top of the fold or did you make it more visible? A lot of times integrations are hidden. Did you have some sort of way to
which is funny, it came up in conversation earlier today, actually, or yesterday, somebody was looking for the old page and it's still there on our website. You just have to look for it now. But yeah, we had a nag banner at the top. So it was the very first thing you saw. It said, hey, ZipWhip customers, click here. And then it was also just below the fold. We had another section that said transfer your ZipWhip data, along with a couple other things. We still had our whole other market to market to, so we couldn't exclude all of them. And I think we did a pretty good job of marrying the two.
That's a really great strategy. People often forget to use the banner. Sometimes people will look at the banner and then not even read it. But for those that do, like, it's a great way to drive the awareness.
Yeah, it certainly helped. A lot of people would just come straight to they'd come to our homepage through whatever channel, click the learn more at the top, and then get what they need on the landing page, and then either reach out to us with an easy to answer question, or they would just start to take the next step to sign up.
What would you say was the primary channel that drove the most awareness or signups for this initiative?
So this was a 2-year process. Year one, it was webinars. So Twilio did a partner webinar series where they'd pick a week and a month, and each partner would have their own webinar. And somehow we got twice as many registrations as the other partners. And I forget exactly how we managed that, but we did something right. So we had twice as many registrations there, and that drove a ton of demos for us, a ton of purchases for us. And then we cut back on webinars the second year, and it was largely us calling ZipWhip customers to book demos. And just, I don't even remember how we got all the contact data there aside from what I've already shared, but yeah, just calling them. Hey, did you know ZipWhip shutting down? Oh, actually, yeah, we had heard about that. We're a partner with them, yada, yada, yada. You want to see how it works? It was effective.
You don't need to say more than that. They're shutting down. They know what that means.
No, it's definitely the conversation starter, right? And if some people still hadn't heard it, some people didn't believe us. They thought we're just lying, and that's funny. But yeah, I don't know if you've heard, but Twilio has acquired ZipWhip. They're shutting down. We're a partner of theirs. We're just reaching out to people, trying to get them to transfer before the deadline so you don't miss anything. And usually we were talking to, call it a gatekeeper, where the decision maker is the owner or something, and we weren't able to reach them. Sometimes we were. But then it would be, can we get the right person's email to follow up with to schedule a demo, or can we just go ahead and schedule a time right now? My significant minority just took a moment to actually see a quick demo, 5 or 10 minutes, to just look at the product. I think that was really helpful as well. But it was so varied, it's hard to say that one thing in particular happened every time.
What a great strategy. Max, it costs almost nothing, but it created absolute pain for customers that have a need for your product. And really the main thing was just to get in front of them at the right time.
To get in front of them at the right time. And we still had to figure out what their customer journey was and match them along the way. And that was challenging for me because whenever we went into it, I was thinking, okay, a lot of these people would be just like our normal market who they realize, okay, I need a texting service or I need a replacement for what I'm currently using. Let me just go to Google and start the process that way. And it ended up being entirely different because most of these people weren't actively looking. They were being pushed off. And so how we got in front of them, how we got their attention, how we created empathy with them and made them want to actually learn more and hear from us, it was all different. Similar, very similar, but it was just different enough that it threw me for a loop for a little bit. We got all the pieces working together. Our team did a fantastic job and it's worked out.
The returns speak for themselves. Well, I appreciate you sharing the story. Is there someone in your career that you'd like to give a shout out to?
Yeah, you asked me that before we started and I was thinking there's so many people. I'll say there's two. There's one's my dad. He's incredible. Thank you. Thank you, sir. And number two, I'll say Brian Elrod, our CEO, co-founder, the guy I've reported to directly for the last 9 years. He's given me the opportunities and the coaching along the way. So it's been a good ride.
You stuck around for 9 years, for sure. In this environment, through the tech hype cycle, when people move after 1 year, it's amazing. It's a testament.
Yeah.
And lastly, how can people find out more about yourself?
So about me, I'm on LinkedIn, Kenneth Burke. I look like this if you're watching the video. I also have a blog / newsletter called burkebits.com. And then if you want to learn more about Text Request, you can come through my channels and you'll find them there. Or go to textrequest.com and find us.
Great. It's a pleasure having you on. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan.